I'll let you know a little bit of the behind the scenes. Typically, on Saturday, I send Miss Susan a copy of the PowerPoint that I'm going to use for this morning. And normally, I have a little fine print caveat that says, and of course, I could change this at any point in time. I didn't put it this time. And I should have, because I'm going to pivot and do something different. So, don't title that lesson that I sent you this one. We're going to do something different. Open your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And if you're looking through John chapter 14, we're looking verse 1 through 6. And we can look before in chapter 13 for the context. In verse 36 of John chapter 13, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." And Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." And then we pick up in verse 14, which is the same context, the same idea. He says, "Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and if I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive to you myself, and where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So look at what the apostles seem to be unsure of. They seem to be unsure of the way. They seem to be unsure of the instructions that Jesus is to give them. And I want to think about those instructions this morning. If we think of a Lego set that has you building something, it'll have instructions that even children can follow. But if we go through, think of you got something as an adult and you've got to put it together, all of a sudden it becomes really hard to put together. Why? Because we don't read the instructions. A child can follow the Lego set instructions, but we as adults cast off the instructions and say, "Well, we know how to do it. We know what the final result looks like." Our spiritual instructions are found in the scriptures. And what we're going to look at this morning is the question that the apostles asked. They were unsure of how to get to heaven, which is where Jesus said he was going to go. But they were unsure of the way. The Bible tells us the exact instructions, the exact process, the exact way to get there. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. There are many parts to each of these steps, but I've boiled it down to three steps to get to heaven. Three steps to get to heaven, and you can know the caveat that there are a lot of steps within the other three steps. The first thing that we have to do in order to get to heaven, this is the first step, is to put off ourself. We have to put off ourself. We have to step out of ourself. And this is the hardest step that we have. In putting off oneself or stepping out of oneself, you have to deny yourself. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. We're going to have a lot of scriptures this morning, so I invite you to have your Bibles open, turning there with me. If you need a Bible to look at, there's more than likely one relatively close to you in the pew as we study together. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Men and brethren, we have to deny ourselves. That means we have to put off whatever we think makes our being. We have to give up ourselves. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, he says, "And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." We've denied ourselves. We are giving ourselves up. We're going to have a little bit of a lengthy reading. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Once again, this is Paul talking. Paul in Colossians chapter 3 talks about putting off the old man. And by necessity, when we think of putting off the old man, well, we're going to get to the point in which we receive a new man. We put on something else. But we're not quite there yet. We're still in step one. We are stepping out of oneself. We have to deny ourselves. We have to give up ourselves. We have to put off the old man. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked where you lived with them. But now you are yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his new deeds, and you've put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there's neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and all. Brethren, we have to put off ourselves. We have to put on the new man, which is what we'll get to in just a second. We have to forsake all and follow Christ, is what we read in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 through 29, stating, Peter said, "Behold, we've left everything, we've followed you. What will there be for us?" Peter, I think, thinking carnally here, saying, look, we've left everything. What else are we going to get to fill that void? And he's thinking of filling the wrong thing. What Jesus is telling them is to put off of something else and put on spiritual things. But Peter's a little confused, and Jesus answers him in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 19. "Truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or children, or farms, for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." Is Jesus saying that you will receive many farms and all of those things? I don't think so. Jesus is always trying to get the apostles to think spiritually rather than physically. So we've put off ourselves. We know what we must do. We must put off ourselves. We must deny ourselves. Here are some things that we should not do in this putting off of our stealth. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Turning back into the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at what verse 5 and 6 says about what we must not do. The proverbial writer tells us in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." We cannot trust in ourselves. We've put off ourselves. We cannot trust in ourselves. We also cannot look to ourselves. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps." We cannot trust in ourselves. We cannot look to ourselves. We cannot glorify ourselves. Jesus tells that in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is heaven." Still talking there in the Sermon on the Mount. He tells us that our good works should not glorify ourselves, but our good works should glorify God, our Father who is in heaven. What I want to do is look at a couple of biblical examples of people who did not do this. Remember, the first step is to put off oneself. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Many of us who are Bible students will be familiar with the story of the rich young ruler. Look in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, someone came to him, and we read from other accounts that this is the rich young ruler. He says, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" Jesus answers him and says, "Why are you asking me what is good? There's only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." So he said, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these things I've kept, what am I still lacking?" Jesus said, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Remember, these are the steps we're looking for. We're looking for how to get to heaven. He says, "You'll have treasure in heaven, come follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. He was not willing to give up himself. He was not willing to give up what he thought was his being. The chief priests are the same way. The chief priests in John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 47. For those of you that are following along in your Bibles, I do appreciate that. If I'm looking in the physical, I'm reading from the New King James. If I'm looking on my phone here, I'm reading from the New American Standard. So that's the difference in some of my readings. The chief priests in John chapter 11, verse 47, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, "What are we doing? for this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Notice what they noticed. They noticed that Jesus was performing signs and miracles. And they noticed that there was something different about him that the other prophets did not have. Everyone is starting to follow after Jesus. But what are they concerned about? They're not willing to give up who they think themselves are. They're not willing to give up the power, the notoriety, the place that the Romans had given them in public opinion. They're not willing to give up those things. They're not willing to put off themselves. We can go to Felix. We can go to Agrippa in the book of Acts. Felix, we see in Acts chapter 24. Felix became frightened after Paul preaches him the gospel and says, "Go away for the present, and when I find a time, I will summon you." He doesn't do these things. He glorifies himself. He looks to himself. He puts his welfare of self first. Agrippa says the same thing, or a very similar thing. "In a short time, you will persuade me to become a Christian." And I read that almost as a mocking tone. And you're trying to persuade me, King Agrippa, to become like you are? He's not willing to give up his notoriety. He's not willing to give up himself. This is the hardest step. The hardest step is to deny ourselves, to give up ourselves, to put off the old man, and to forsake all and follow Christ. But if we can do that, and I'm looking throughout the room this morning, I see that there are many of us who have done that, and we're proud to wear the name of Christians. If we have done that, then we have to put on Christ. If you put off an old man, you have to put on something new. Go to Galatians chapter 3 with me. There cannot be a vacuum within ourselves. We think about power vacuums. Whenever one power leaves, well, there's a vacuum and something has to fill it. Well, we're in control of that power of ourself leaving, and we're in control of what to fill that with. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." He's telling us there, Paul is talking to the Galatians, telling us there what we should put on. We've put off ourselves, we should put on Christ. We should step into Christ. So how do you put on Christ, or how do you get into Christ? Romans chapter 10 tells us that we have to be able to hear the word. We have to open our hearts, open our ears, and able to hear the gospel, the word being preached. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, I'm going to read a little bit of this context here. Verse 14 says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" Paul, being a master of rhetoric, Paul is giving all of these rhetorical questions, knowing what the people are going to say to them. But look in verse 17. Verse 17 says, "For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if we're looking to put on Christ, we're looking to follow the instructions, we're looking to put together the Lego set and get the final picture, what we have to do is we have to put on Christ. We have to be willing to hear his word. We also have to be willing to have a faith in him. Notice I said being willing to have a faith in him. Look in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Those of us familiar with the gospel accounts will be familiar with what Mark says here. Mark recording the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." It seems as if a first instance there is the faith that works, the faith that follows. We can also go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 being a chapter dealing entirely with faith, the faith of those of old who did something with their faith. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Now there's a lot of he's and hims. I'm going to read it in a different way, and I'm going to put God where God belongs in this. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who seek God, is how that should read. I don't think we do any injustice to that scripture in putting God there. That's what we're talking about in Hebrews chapter 11, is the men and women of faith who followed after God and did something because of it. And we're looking at the second step, trying to put on Christ. We have to have faith in him. We have to be willing to turn from our previous sin. We mentioned this idea of baptism in Mark chapter 16, and we see this come to fruition in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. The men and brethren were cut to the heart, and they say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Because this is the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. They're gathering in this. The people were cut to the heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." You can read yourself in that, those who are afar off. So what is a part of this second step? The second step is being willing to turn from your sins, being willing to confess your faith in Christ and be baptized. Go with me to the book of Romans. Romans is one of my favorite books. It handles so much of our walk as a Christian, handles so much of the way in which we interact with Christ, with his blood, the faith that we should have, how the old law interacts with all of these. I would urge you to read through the book of Romans sometime this week in your spare time. We see all of these somewhere in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." If the heart is correct and the heart has that faith, then the only thing that the heart can do is cause the mouth to confess, is what we read right there. Also in Romans, you can back up to Romans chapter 6. So we have the faith, we're willing to put on Christ, we've put off the old self, we're trying to find something to fill the self with. We are willing to hear his word. We have a faith in Jesus. We are willing to turn from our sins. We've confessed our faith in Christ. Look in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. "What shall we say then?" Once again, asking rhetorical questions. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" Now, when he says that, he's not saying, yes, there were some of you that were baptized and some of you were baptized into his death. Once again, that's a rhetorical statement. He's saying, as many of you were, Paul is saying 100% of you were that are within the church. Basically, this reads, "And you know that all of you were baptized into Christ and were baptized into his death," is how that reads. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We can go to 1 Peter 3, we can go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, and look at how baptism is part of this step. When we put on Christ, these are the things that we must do. We must be willing to hear, have faith in him, be willing to turn from our sins, confess our faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized. And when those things do happen, by the grace of God, here's what happens when one puts on Christ. He's made a new creature. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Now these are things that we do not do. These are things that are done for us by the grace of God. We are trying to follow after the biblical example, follow after the biblical pattern, following after Christ. We've done these things. We're willing to put on Christ and do these actions. When you put on Christ, here's what happens. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "If anyone is in Christ," remember that's the stepping into Christ or having Christ within yourself. "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature." Why? "Because the old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come." That's the putting off of the old and putting on of the new. He becomes victorious. He triumphs. We read this, we can back up in 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "But thanks be to God always, who leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." If you want a good exercise this week, go through the entire New Testament and find when Paul says the phrase "in Christ." He uses it all the time to talk about the walk that a Christian should be leading. Once again in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 tells us what we are free from. We've set away all of these things that we have been doing. We've put off, we've denied ourselves, we've put on Christ, and now we are free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The first part of this step, we're on step two, first step being putting off self, denying self. Second step being putting on Christ, stepping into Christ, having Christ come into you. The first part of this step is what man does in response to God's commands. We have to do those things. Be willing to hear, have faith in Him, be willing to turn from sins, confess, be baptized. The second part is what God does for mankind as a result of putting on Christ. We cannot be saved with the things that we do. It has to come from Christ. It has to come from God. All right, if you remember, I said this is a three-step process. We've done step one, we've done step two, here's step three. Step three is that we must die in Christ. We must die in Christ or step into glory when Christ returns having not died. It's the only two options. We must die in Christ or step into glory. What I want you to do is go with me to Hebrews chapter 9. We can read a little bit about what the afterlife looks like. We're going to get a glimpse into the spiritual realm. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 7 stating, 9 verse 27. As always, the book of Hebrews is one where I want to keep on backing up to get more and more context, but we're going to go ahead with time and go straight to verse 27. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We recognize that. Verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. So what do we read from this passage pertaining to our third step? The idea of dying in Christ or stepping into glory. We must die and we must be transformed. That's the only part of step three. We must die in Christ or we must be transformed. We know that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50 tells us this. I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So before we can enter heaven, remember our three-step process is trying to enter into heaven. We have to die first. We have to die first. We have to be transformed. And at the time of our death or transformation, in order to enter into heaven, you have to be in Christ. Go with me to Revelation chapter 14. There's a couple of things that we're going to notice in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, we're going to jump a little bit around in this chapter. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write. And remember, this is John the Apostle writing what he sees, the vision from heaven. It says, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So, let's work this down into a brief little bit of logic. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Okay. What about the ones who do not die in the Lord? Are they blessed? I don't think they can be. So as we think about our lives, as we think about where we're at in our walk, where we're at in the steps, say that you have put off self, you have put on Christ, but you've faltered in that. Christ is no longer in you because you've stopped denying yourself and you started to worship yourself, glorify yourself. You're not blessed. You're not blessed with the salvation of heaven. We know after the death or after the transformation, we must go through the judgment. We also read this in Revelation, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, I apologize. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Says, why do you judge your brother or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. All will be judged, whether you, no matter where you're at in this process, no matter what step you are on, every knee will bow before God. We also read that all will give an account. Verse 12 says, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. It doesn't matter where you're at in the process. It doesn't matter if you are before step one and you're still worshiping yourself, caring about yourself. You will still bow and kneel before God. But Matthew chapter 25 gives us some hope and gives us a reason to complete this process. It gives us a reason to follow these steps. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So remember in John chapter 14 where we first started, the apostles were asking, how do we get to heaven? You say you're going to heaven, how do we get there? We've looked at three basic steps this morning of how we can get there. You have to put off yourself. If you're still worshiping yourself, if Christ is not the preeminent in your life, you haven't made it past step one of this three-step process. You have to put off self. After you've put off self, you have to fill that void with something. You have to fill that void with Jesus Christ. His love and his mercy is able to cover a multitude of sins. There is no sin that he cannot blot out. There is no hole big enough in you that he cannot fill. We've put off self. Say that we've put on Christ. We must live the walk so that when our life is over, we can say that we are triumphant and we can die in Christ. We can say that we can step into his glory. James chapter 2. The instructions that we've looked at must be followed to the letter. Notice what James chapter 2 and verse 10 says. We're looking at the instructions. There are some things in this life that we can cut corners and still get the end result. We recognize that. There are some things that you can do and say, I'm going to leave out this step, and you're still okay. You still get the end product. You still get the end result. Our spiritual walk is not one of those. Our spiritual walk, we have to follow it the letter of the law. James chapter 2 and verse 10, notice what it says here. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. You have to keep the whole law, and if you stumble in one point, you're guilty in all. That means don't cut corners. Don't miss steps. We broke it down to three steps, but recognize there's a lot of things within those three steps. Call them micro steps. Step 1A, step 1B, step 1C. We recognize how to follow instructions in this world. We have to follow instructions when it comes to our spiritual life as well. God's instructions we cannot cut corners on. We are not smart enough to make it ourselves. We read in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. We talked about a man's way is not in himself. Looked at that idea of casting off ourself. Nor is it in man who walks to direct his steps. We cannot choose our own steps in salvation. We must follow God. So as we bring our lesson to a close this morning, if you have not taken the first two steps, remember the first step is the hardest one to take. Christ, in talking about following after him and recognizing the way, talking about the way to heaven, he said it's narrow. There's not many people that will be able to do it. That first step is hard. But luckily, God has made mankind capable of taking that first step, or else we would not be here this morning. If you haven't taken the first and subsequently the second step, I would bid you to do that. Do it while you still have time. That first step being put off yourself, deny yourself, be willing to cast off your being, and fill it with Christ. And fill it with his power, fill it with his mercy, fill it with his love. For those of us that have taken those first and second steps, continue to take all of the other steps. I boiled it down to just step three, die in Christ, but there's a whole long time that happens between taking your first step, your second step, and dying in Christ. We should be living our lives capable of reaching heaven. It should not be something where we say, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. You have the instructions. You know what the end result is. Let's make sure we're examining ourselves, re-examining ourselves, re-examining ourselves so that we can be certain of the hope that's within us. Christ has prepared a place for us. He's given us the instructions on how to get there. We have to follow his directions in order to arrive. We don't know the time in which our arrival will say. Jesus did not give us an ETA, but he gave us the way there. So if there's anything that we can do for anyone here this morning to make any actions in any of these steps, put on Christ, put off yourself, or continue to step into glory, I'd bid you come and sing the selected hymn this morning.